Welcome to America Trends. Thank you for being with us. I'm Amy Fuller. You're with You to America and Biz Talk Radio. Glad to have you along. It is National Book Lovers Day, and hashtag Book Lovers Day has been trending on social media. We actually put some articles up on our Facebook page. There it is. Look at that lovely thing. If you go to our Facebook page, America Trends, there's a list of the canon of some of the great classics, and we were just wondering what you thought. Some of your favorite books should be the classics that should be required reading or just a suggested reading for people. So check us out there. We love to social media with you. Ahead, we have Dr. Michael Mantel, the author of The Link Is What You Think and Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. P.S. It's all small stuff. Talking about back to school mental health and making sure the kids are ready for anything and everything, and the parents too, I'm sure. Also, Bart Marquez, a former career diplomat and undersecretary to President Bush, will be in to talk about some of the political headlines of the day. He has many, many articles. He's a continuing contributor to OpsLens.com. One thing that we will be chatting about is the gun control and gun reform issue. As President Trump calls for better background checks, or some are saying not so fast, they are worried about a slippery slope when it comes to Second Amendment rights. This news does come that as we hear that the mother of the accused El Paso shooter had called police on her son, a call that came in late June. The mother told police she was worried that her son had an AK-type rifle, and she was concerned about his age, maturity level, and experience owning such a gun. Twitter sounded off and said, red flags. We have plenty of red flags on many mass murderers where nothing was done. And simply owning a legal gun is hardly enough for police to be concerned. There would be other concerning factors as well. Failing to pick up a warning sign is one thing. Simply owning a legal gun is not by itself a warning sign. And then a safety officer told the mother that based on her description of the situation, her son, 21 years old, was legally allowed to have purchased the weapon. Joe Biden is taking some heat for a gaffe he made in a speech this week. The former VP told a group of mostly Asian and Hispanic voters in Iowa on Thursday that poor kids are just as bright as white children. This was at a gathering of the Asian and Latino Coalition in Des Moines, Iowa, where he was on a four-day campaign swing for the Democratic presidential nomination. Social media was merciless with such tweets as these. Did he not know there are poor white kids? And that's racist. A few more going up and down. Clearly, Democrats don't believe there are any poor white kids in this nation. And so much race baiting from the liberals these days. And other people said he can't even pander properly. Catherine Rice says, I cannot stop laughing since I saw this. So we just want to sort of give you a chance. Here's a soundbite. You can hear it for yourself.
We should challenge these students. We should challenge students in these schools to have advanced placement programs in these schools. We have this notion that somehow if you're poor, you cannot do it. Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids. Wealthy kids, black kids, Asian kids. No, I really mean it, but think how we think about it.
President Trump responded when asked to Biden's comments Friday on the South Lawn.
I mean, Joe Biden can't answer a simple question. Something's going wrong with him. I mean, the only thing is, I mean, a lot of people think that he was the one that wanted Bob Mueller to testify because it made Joe look intelligent.
Okay? He's always got the clips, doesn't he? We'll talk more about this and the other political headlines with Bart Marquez ahead, as I mentioned. Twitter is also reacting to news that Pizza Hut is closing hundreds of its dine-in restaurants, some 500 of them. The franchise will now focus on delivery and carryout services. There are nearly 7,500 Pizza Hut locations in the U.S. Kyle on Twitter says, this is my nightmare. And other people saying, I didn't know there were 500 Pizza Huts around, and talking about their service and all these things. And is this the end of Pizza Hut? So there we go. Bart's up next. You're with America Trends.
China, we're talking to China. We're not ready to make a deal, but we'll see what happens. But, you know, we've been hurt by China for 25, 30 years. Nobody's done anything about it. And we have no choice but to do what we're doing. It's working out very well, as you know. We called them on manipulation, and they brought their numbers back. And they brought them back rapidly, and they were able to do that because they manipulate. But that's all. It's called monetary manipulation. Not good. But what happened and what's happening with China now, we have an open dialogue. We'll see whether or not we keep our meeting in September. If we do, that's fine. If we don't, that's fine. But it's time that somebody does what we're doing. And I said, the American taxpayer is not paying for it.
President Trump speaking about the latest back and forth with China as he tries to remedy decades of all sort of unfairness when it comes to trade. We are talking about this and so many other political headlines with Bart Marcois, former undersecretary to President Bush and career diplomat. All kinds of political headlines, obviously, this day and age. Bart, welcome back.
Thanks, Amy. Great to be back with you.
Oh, you're outdoors. Lovely.
Thanks.
So we've got Biden's gaffes, which are just so rich. If President Trump had said something to the effect that poor kids are just as bright as white kids, he'd be crucified. And then we have information on the border. Border apprehensions are down. This is a good thing, apparently. Gun reform, the boycotting of Equinox and the SoulCycle chair because he happens to support President Trump. Should we go ahead and start with China, Bart? What's all this looking like now?
Well, I'll tell you, it looks to me like President Trump is fulfilling one of his most basic campaign promises, which was to restore fairness to American workers. He's absolutely right. For 25, 30 years, China has been hurting us. And I've always been a free trader. I was a free trader before it was the popular thing to be. But China does not practice free trade. They manipulate the global trade system. They enter it under the guise of free trade, and then they manipulate their currency, and they manipulate they control the wages paid to their workers, and they purposely keep their currency cheap so that their goods will be cheap, so we will buy them. And we will employ their billions of people instead of employing our own people. And that's exactly what China's been doing to us, and it's exactly what President Trump has been trying to combat. And it's hard. He's taking a bullet out of a wound without anesthesia. And he's trying to provide as much anesthesia as possible, but the Chinese are trying to make it hurt as much as they can. And they know our system. They're very clever, and they're acting in their self-interest. Eventually, the Chinese will see that it is in their self-interest to do what President Trump is asking them to do, just trade fairly and stop trying to take advantage of the system.
And the other part, as you say, fulfilling a great campaign promise. Everyone remembers him saying China. And he's, when you use the metaphor, taking a bullet, he really is taking one. He doesn't have to do, we've talked about before, all the things he is doing. Other presidents have slept in. He's up at, 4 a.m.? And when he came out to speak to reporters today, there are all kinds of things to speak about. Gun reform, all the things he's trying to accomplish with that and to communicate. Joe Biden's gaffes, he didn't address that. He walked up to the reporters, and instead of just starting to take questions as he was walking, he said, regarding China, and he went into the remarks we just heard. And so this is something important that he really wants to remedy. And again, he doesn't have to. Other presidents and administrations have kicked the can down the road.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. And thank you for pointing that out, because I would have forgotten to mention it. The every other president has said, this is too hard. It's going to hurt too many people. I will lose popularity, and I might lose re-election. Mm-hmm. My party might lose re-election if I take this on, because it's going to hurt. And they've all just said, just leave it. Maybe you'll just get used to the pain. And that's what every president has done. It's asked American workers to get used to the pain. And President Trump is saying, no, I don't care. This is the right thing to do, and I'm going to do it. And, you know, he's accused by people on both sides of the aisle of being completely amoral. But But there's a certain morality in fulfilling your campaign promises, and that's the kind of morality you need in a political leader. He's doing what we asked him to do, what he promised to do, and yes, it hurts, and yes, his popularity will be hurt by it, as people say, ouch, this is difficult. Investors are upset because the stock market is falling. Well, you know what? We were all hurting for a long time while the stock market was booming and the rest of America was hurting. Mm-hmm. So President Trump is keeping his promise to the American middle class and saying, I will fight for you. I have not forgotten you.
And I think that we have seen some changes coming from China that we thought perhaps wouldn't come so quickly. So we will see what happens, as President Trump loves to say. Now, on that Joe Biden gaffe, when he said that, I couldn't believe my ears. I said, can they replay that? And of course they did. And what he said was, you know, once again, and we played it earlier, poor kids are just as bright as white kids. And oh my goodness, Bart.
Yeah, he didn't. Biden didn't grow up in my neighborhood. All the poor kids were white. I was in the waiting room of an establishment today, and I got a call from a friend talking about that. And there was another guy in the waiting room, and I realized that he was overhearing my conversation. And I turned to him. I said, because I had just said something about, you know, I'm so sick of the Democrats calling everybody racist when they themselves are the racists. And finally, Biden is getting so old that he can't keep it under control anymore. And he's got a Freudian slip, and he let slip what he really believes. And I turned to the guy and I said, I just realized you're overhearing this. I said, I hope you're not a Democrat. And he laughed and he said, I'm not. He said, I'm a Mexican-American, and I'm a Republican. And he said, and let me tell you, it's not just white people that are racist. He said, Hispanics are racist against each other all the time. And I didn't know what to answer to that. Mm. But he said, no. He said, I used to vote Democrat. He said, I started voting Republican 2 years ago.
We'll finish your thought after the break. Sorry, hard break. But, you know, Bart, as you say, don't believe the labels that mainstream media tries to throw on you. We're going to come back and talk more about the irresponsibility of some media networks after those tragedies over the weekend, pointing fingers at President Trump and blaming him. My goodness. Also, more on the gun reform next with Bart.
I have a great relationship with the NRA. I have a lot of respect for the people at the NRA, and I have already spoken to them on numerous occasions. And frankly, we need intelligent background checks, okay? This isn't a question of NRA, Republican or Democrat. I will tell you, I spoke to Mitch McConnell yesterday. He's totally on board. He said, I've been waiting for your call. He is totally on board. I spoke to senators that in some cases people, friends of mine, but pretty hardline senators, hardline. And when I say that in a positive way, hardline on the Second Amendment. And they understand we don't want insane people, mentally ill people, bad people, dangerous people. We don't want guns in the hands of the wrong people.
Back with Bart Markois, career diplomat and undersecretary to President Bush. And Bart, I guess a couple things to mention about this. Some Second Amendment advocates are criticizing President Trump and saying, don't go too far. This is a slippery slope. And also wanted to touch on just if you scan some of the dials over the mainstream media or some of the articles that you can't avoid because they pop up on your phone, the irresponsibility of the media. These are trained journalists of pointing fingers at President Trump and his constituents for shootings where someone else pulled the trigger. It's completely outrageous. And, you know, everyone's going into 2020 now. I was thinking, Bart, today, you know, we never hear the phrase anymore, negative campaigning. We used to hear that a few decades ago. We had constituents saying we're tired of negative campaigning. Now it's inherent in campaigning. You just say campaigning.
You know, now it's redundant. Yeah. I was the day of the El Paso shooting, or it was the following day when we heard about the Dayton shooting overnight.
Right.
I was outside the Beltway and with a close friend, family member, and his first reaction was, why does it have to be about politics? Why can't we talk about the people that were harmed and about a way to prevent the destruction of a person that becomes a shooter like that? Why can't we talk about that? Why do they have to politicize everything? And I think that's the way most Americans outside of the Beltway and the media believe. They're so sick of it. And when with Democrats and the media, but I repeat myself, another redundancy. When they see a mass shooting, they don't say, oh my gosh, those poor people. Mm-hmm. They say, oh, great. Let's find out his connection to President Trump. Yeah. Let's find out if he's a white supremacist. Let's find out if he's a right-wing extremist. Let's find out. And what they see is an opportunity to advance a political agenda that has nothing to do with the lives of those people who were killed or wounded in that shooting. Has nothing to do with the human suffering that went into the mental state of the shooter. After the Parkland shooting, I wrote a series of articles, I don't know, 10 or 12 articles, where I interviewed people, school children, school teachers, psychologists, social workers, everyone I could think of, everyone who would talk to me, a congressman, law enforcement officers, and said, what would you do? And over and over and over, they said, these shooters can be identified beforehand. Let's focus on identifying them. That's the kind of list we need to be developing, is who are the people that are unstable that need intervention? One of the people I interviewed was a teacher, and she said, you know, it might be nice if once in a while, instead of cutting school to go to an anti-gun rally, how about if you just go and eat lunch, sit next to the kid who eats lunch by himself every day? How about if you do that? How about if the teachers reach out to that person? How about if the social workers who are attached to that school reach out to that family and say, what's going on here that's creating this, and how can we intervene? Because over and over and over, the one common theme, it's not gaming, it's not right wing or left wing, it's loneliness, isolation, mental illness. Mm-hmm. That's what goes into creating that shooter. And if we could start focusing on that instead of the inanimate object that they use, you know, yesterday in Garden Grove, California, there was a guy who killed four people in a rampage with a knife and a machete. He mm-hmm. killed them by stabbing them. Mm-hmm. And I'm waiting for Hollywood to do a mass march to ban machetes and knives.
Right. And when you talk about, this was a terrible thing in Orange County, California, that no one could believe, and law enforcement was scrambling, because you don't hear a knife attack. You don't have
you
panic.
Don't hear it.
Right. But another thing, when you talk about taking guns, gun reform, and taking them away from the good guys, we had this incident, I think it was yesterday, in Missouri at a Walmart, where an armed off-duty firefighter detained a man who was carrying loaded weapons. And yeah. It was just another example of the good guy, you don't want to, that's who you don't want to take them away from.
Exactly. This was a guy who had a concealed carry permit, and he had it for the purpose of protecting himself and other people such a situation, and that's who you want. There's no other aspect of public policy where when something bad happens, we look at the good guys who have some inanimate object and take it away from them. I'd like to know how many people were killed in El Paso over that same weekend by drunk drivers. And is there any proposal to take driver's licenses away from people who don't drink, or to ban alcohol in El Paso? But mm-hmm. probably more people were killed by drunk drivers than by shooting. We don't go after the inanimate objects there. This is just a sickening political agenda, ignoring the tragedy in people's lives on both sides of the gun site.
Such tragedies are low-hanging fruit for the media and Democrats too many times. And And there are people, some of the people remembering some of the victims. I also wanted to note, Bart, just we had border agents just again doing their job this morning, fired on from a Mexican riverbank. This was in Fronton, Texas this morning. But meanwhile, we get word that border apprehensions are down in the past month. They were up to around 113,000, 120,000 a month. And here in July, it was 82,000, the first time in 5 months that apprehensions had dipped below 100,000. So it's just good to sort of to mention the good work they're doing down there, and perhaps we're getting some assistance that we've been asking for from Mexico. They're trying to stop people before they even reach it to the United States border.
I think that's what's doing it. They're helping, and that assistance is being felt. Mm-hmm. And I think when you see Guatemala pitch in as well, you're going to see some real progress. And you know, people need to realize immigration, it's not about Mexicans. It's not about Central Americans. We like Mexicans. We like Central Americans. My gosh, where would I be if I couldn't go eat Mexican food when I wanted to, or I couldn't go get a pupusa if I wanted to? Yeah. We like the people. They go to church with us. They're part of our community. It's knowing who's coming into our borders. There's a great example in the Czech Republic right now of the Czech government. There's a big scandal there. The Czech government has been selling visas to so-called Iranian businessmen who are probably, most of whom are probably spies for the IRGC or for Hezbollah, and they've been selling them. And once they get inside Europe, they can go to any country in the EU once they get that visa. We're doing that at the border. Wow. We don't know who's coming in. They might be Iranian spies.
Right. I urge people to go. Your latest article out just today on OpsLens.com. Bart Marquis, thank you so much for your time. Welcome back to America Trends. Are your children and you ready for back to school? Gone are the days when they used to worry about doing their homework appropriately, math, science, all that stuff. Now there are bigger things to worry about, and it's everything that has to do with socialization, bullying, anxiety, the stress that kids have. We are here with Dr. Michael Mantel, author of The Link is What You Think, and Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, P.S. It's All Small Stuff. And Doc, I apologize, I stole the point you made during the break about them not worrying about actual subjects, but instead worrying about the social life there. And again, the mental health aspects of it all. And that's why we're so glad you brought up this topic today.
Well, exactly. And it was a great introduction. You didn't steal anything. The fact is, if you Google back to school, as I did before I came on, mm-hmm. I saw, and I had to like clear my glasses because I couldn't believe the number. It was over 18 billion hits.
18 billion.
Now, of those, it's about like, you know, get the backpack, create an organization station, start getting your kids back to their sleep routine, talk about what the youngsters want to take to school for lunch. You know what? That was great for 1970.
Yeah.
But since 2012, Sandy Hook, we've had 2,200 shootings.
Oh, boy.
Now, the actual number has dipped a little bit, actually. Mm-hmm. And we know that that gun violence with guns, is the second leading cause of death for children 1 year old to 18 years old.
Oh, man.
Motor vehicle accidents are number one. Now, along with that, your guest, Marquis, said, why aren't we taking the booze away from those drunk drivers? Why aren't we taking cars away from people who come up to scenes to create violence?
Yeah, shoes with people with shoe bombs on airplanes and knives from people who, you can't take away everything.
Right.
You have to fix the heart, the soul, and the mind.
Well, and that's what I want to talk about. Because the 18 billion hits of back to school about backpacks and moms, get the babysitter ready so you can have me time. I'm not making fun of that.
No,
but
not at all.
Today, children are living with, I want that backpack. I know I want to sit next to Joey in school. They may be. But the average child today is living with fear and anxiety. The average parent is living with fear and anxiety. 56.5 million children are going back to school this week, next week, the week after. Almost 4 million teachers. A teacher told me, you know, I was talking about this segment, And I said, you know, I'm talking about back to school. And she said, well, here's something to tell them. Usually I get emails about, come learn how to do the, you know, homework preparation. Come take a class in, like, how to get kids active in extracurricular activities. You know, we're being sold today, active shooter training, how to run, hide, and attack, how to pack a wound. She said, I should be getting battle pay.
Oh, that's so true.
So this is what we're sending kids back to school with today. Fear and anxiety.
I can't imagine, because then you add in. I mean, I remember I saw an article recently that said kids won't say, I have fear and anxiety and stress, because it's not something that they, it's not, they're not terms that they throw around. They'll say things like, I have a stomach ache,
right,
or I don't want to go to school. And that rings so true for people who've been through any of that stuff, bullying back in the day, for instance. But now you've got the shootings, the social media and the bullying. There's so much to think about.
Bullying, cyberbullying, violence, physical attacks, these are the reasons that more than 50% of children say they're afraid to go to school. And a significant number, I forget the number, it's over 50%, will miss a day of school frequently because they're afraid to go back to school. They're afraid to be beat up or be teased or bullied. We have children who are committing suicide because of cyberbullying. It breaks my heart to think what in the world has happened.
Their world is so small that if they're getting it from all sides at school, and then those sides morph into the media, social media and everything online, how can that possibly feel to a kid that age that doesn't have the coping skills?
And then what does the average 12, 13, 14-year-old kid do? He or she sits in his room or her room after school. They're on that device. And all they're doing is scanning, what did she say about me? What is he saying? And it just creates more and more anxiety. Okay, Johnny, time to do your homework now. Oh yeah, sure. Right.
So we have back burner for them now. There were far bigger things to concern themselves with.
What schools are spending time now with is physical surveillance. They're debating, should teachers be armed? Now, can you imagine, talk about kids with fear and anxiety, about living without control, unpredictability, the novelty of all these situations that they hear about? And it comes a week, this last week, we heard about all these shootings. Kids were watching it on the news. It was mom and dad were watching the news. Kids were listening to it.
You can't get away from it.
You can't. And hate that's built up, blame.
Kids who hate people on the other, they hate Donald Trump or they hate the others just because they hear their parents say something or the media and they have no idea why they hate them. They just think they must be a bad guy because that's all I hear.
Honest to goodness, I don't make up stories because I don't have to. I heard six and a half year old little boy say in a session with me this week, Donald Trump was the one who made the man shoot.
Oh,
and I looked at the mother and I was like in shock. And she went, I didn't tell him that. I said, you don't have to. But you're allowing this news to get inside your child.
Oh my gosh.
Now, if he blames Donald Trump for this, who he, of course, he doesn't even know, then do you see how he's growing up with divisiveness in his heart when he goes back to school? And this one is different from me, and I hate him, and he's no good. And what we begin to have, it's not just isolated people and people with mental illness. Mental illness has become a stigma. We're not allowed to say mental illness, yet when we're diagnosing and treating, we can say it. It's a confused time we live in. It makes sense?
It makes total sense. And the reason is all we've been doing over the past decades is trying to remove the stigma of mental illness so people will come get help and know there are different degrees. It doesn't mean every mental illness is stuff that's portrayed on TV where everyone has a gun, they're a psychotic killer. Not even close.
No, they're not.
But now when you're talking about these suspected gunmen or gun women, as it is, but it's usually, you know, young boys at this point. You have these things talking about red flag warnings for people with mental illnesses, and that just puts everything back in the same hopper again. But they're also trying to save lives, so it's a fine line with all that, and it has to be confusing for kids or anyone who might want or need to get that kind of help.
For the 50 million kids going back into public schools, and the 35 million who are attending pre-K to grade 8, and another 15 million going to high school. They're going back to schools where schools are focused on education, of course. I don't want your viewers who are educators to say, what is he talking about? Mm-hmm. But let's face it, they're focused on active shooter training. They're focused on identifying early warning signs, the red flags, making sure kids are getting counseling up to a point. So when a mother says, my son just bought an AK, whatever, well, he's 18, you know, we can't even ask a question about that. When teachers see kids bullying, being isolated, and they don't comment, we're in a real problem time. And I have 9 suggestions for parents that I want to share about this.
We're going to do them after the break. And I could never be in the mind of a teacher and what great hearts they have. But I bet they're so appreciative to have you addressing this. So thank you. And we're going to have more, including your 9 points, right after this on America Trends. I'm a sucker for you. Dr. Michael Mantel is one of the most sought-after professional behavioral coaches in all the world, and we're so glad to have him here for his weekly segments. PhD from the University of Pennsylvania, and was chief psychologist for San Diego Police, the department there, and Children's Hospital, has authored 4 great books. You need to check him out on his website and on Twitter. He's very active on both Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, sharing his nuggets of wisdom. And what a great topic for right now. Dr. Mantel, as kids head back to school and parents try to help them with all the psychological stuff, the head games we play with ourselves, and there was a new study out just sort of going along with what you're talking about recently about kids who try to avoid anything that might bring a negative emotion. They don't know how to deal with it. Right. And so they run from these things that actually could build character and teach them that things get better and you can overcome things.
Well, and now who's going to do that? Let's go back to the parents. This is not to blame parents, but this, I believe, is to put responsibility where responsibility belongs. Parents raise children to come into society as thriving, flourishing, productive, positive human beings. Okay, so first step, mom and dad, choose the news that you're filling your home with. Kids are hearing it. Turn it off. Your life isn't going to be any worse or better by hearing that Trump wants to do this, or that this one is that, or Biden said this, or it doesn't really matter.
And maybe call some of your political dialogue in the household when the kids are around, because they're not going to get it.
So first of all, I want you to choose the news you bring into your house, into your mind. Turn it off. Put on something a little more positive. Secondly, delete cynicism.
Well, that goes along with what we were just talking about.
Exactly.
Having that good dialogue.
Let's bring some positivity to this. How about the idea of teaching children kindness, compassion? So when a child is blaming his sister, or she's blaming the brother, or whatever it may be, how about, hey, let's sit down and understand what really just happened. Can we talk about this? Instead of just like punching someone in the stomach and running away, he made me do it. No, he didn't. He didn't make you do anything. Mm-hmm. So we want to teach kindness and compassion.
Well, can I make him? I think kids who have parents that say to them, well, what does this mean, mommy? Trump, Biden, Trump, whoever. What if they actually said, well, this man thinks this or this woman thinks this because of this, and you give them support and say, and they think this way, and here's why. But the other side thinks this, and they both have a point, and here's why. And why don't we do that anymore? So we can teach them, we're not indoctrinating them into hate, but we're teaching them thoughtfulness.
Because we are indoctrinating them into hate.
Okay.
We are. We are indoctrinating kids into hate. And I want to turn a positivity bias rather than a negativity bias that we all are swimming in. The positivity bias is not even to use the word hate, but to use the term not love. Mm-hmm. You hear the difference?
Mm-hmm.
Hospitals aren't for sick people. It's a place for healing. Let's have a positivity spin on this, mm-hmm. not a negative spin. So when the parents, well, Trump said this, why did he say this? Well, Joey, Mary, whatever, what do you think? Why would someone say that? Well, maybe he's angry. Maybe he doesn't like him. Maybe he's in a race and he needs to say something to help him win. How about teaching the reality, assuming parents even know the reality anymore. So let's share good news. How about eliminating negative self-talk and negative talk about other people? Now you may be thinking, some of your viewers may be thinking, this guy's in a bubble. I am in a bubble.
We love our bubble. You can create your own bubble.
Come on, join us because this is a great place to be. It allows us.
What kind of bubble are you creating?
Exactly. Can you imagine? I'm going to say it straight out. The stench in that bubble. Do you understand the illness in that bubble? Yeah. And the miserableness in that bubble? How about praising people generously? How about the idea, you're in Starbucks, you're in a restaurant, someone walks by, how about saying, that's a beautiful dress you have on? And that is a beautiful dress, as always. But how about complimenting, teaching children to find the good and compliment? Living in the present, meaning let's not talk about what we're afraid is going to happen or the way, oh, it was so good then. It can be good now. And I also believe that when we surround ourselves, our family, with positive people, you and I both agree, a community of faith ultimately lifts us up, assuming the faith is preaching positivity. Mm-hmm. And the last point is to eliminate a great deal of self-focus. Say bye to I. How about see we? Now, we do have a president who uses the term I a lot. I wish someone would help him talk more about that.
You know what I've noticed about him too? I have to say this because I always feel like he said we from the beginning about his campaign way more than our previous man. When Barack Obama came out and said, I can announce. So we got bin Laden. I was like, what are you talking about? You can announce, fine. But I see Trump so differently. He always says we, but you think he says I a lot.
I hear him say like, my good friend, he likes me, they like me.
Oh, he talks himself up.
He talks himself up. What I want parents to do.
It'll be the greatest wall.
Right. It's going to be all that. That's fine. And we can laugh. But I feel that what parents need to do is talk about the we. Get kids on teams. Get kids in clubs. Talk about how the summer camp group was. Not what did you do today? What did you accomplish? How did you beat the other kid? Mm. But how did the team do? Mm. So between choosing your news, deleting cynicism, teaching kindness and compassion, sharing good news, getting rid of negative self-talk, living generously, living in the present, having a community of faith, positive people around you, and eliminating the self-focus, I believe kids can go back to school and deal with the fear and anxiety that is inevitable in this coming few weeks that they're going to be dealing with.
Boy, those are 9 great points to really help kids get the back to school going. And if parents listen to you, and hopefully you'll put your 9 points up on social media, yes, then they can feel better and they can feel less stressed about sending their kid off. And what you said about other people, what greater reward can a parent have than a child that comes home and says, I'm worried about so-and-so, and talks about we instead of I this, I that. And we can grow those kids if we, you know, just put it into it. Of course, these parents, I take my hat out, they should get awards every day, right. But it's a lot.
A lot of this is about parental change and parental responsibility and parental preparation themselves, because they have to deal with the sense of, oh my goodness, my kids are going back into the real world.
It's coming up. Dr. Michael Manteau, it's .com, right?
.com, yes.
Okay, we'll find you there, and he'll be back next week. Check him out online and social media.
The kitties just bring everybody together.
Where's she gone?
Hey, glad to have you along. And we say thanks to Dr. Michael Mantel, author of The Link Is What You Think and Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. P.S. It's all small stuff. Also, Bart Marquis talking about the political headlines of the day. And we hope to see you 24/7 on our websites, U2America.com and BizTalk Radio. And also, you can click right through there and go to social media. We have Facebook, we have Twitter, we have Instagram, and all kinds of good stuff to click around with the U2America page and the America Trends page. Also, it is National Book Lovers Day. Cool, right? And we were just asking on Facebook what you guys think should be added to the classics, 19 classics every American should read, according to English professors. So if you want to chime in there, and we'll all be social on social media, it'll be a lot of fun, and we'll see you there. And also, don't forget, we have live streaming on our website as well, and you can also click on our previous shows on demand at any time. So we are once again with you around the clock, and we'll see you there on the interwebs. also want to say, finally, we've had so much good trending entertainment news this week. And one thing that's trending is the new Dora, the movie. The trailer came out a few weeks back, and it opens in theaters across the nation today. So it's out this whole weekend. They say it's Dora's biggest adventure yet, Dora and the Lost City of Gold. And they say if you think you know Dora, think again. Here's a look as we head out. Thanks for being here.
Dora, it's time for dinner.
If you think you know Dora.
Delicioso! Can you say delicioso?
She'll grow out of it.
Think again.
Dora, this isn't the jungle. It's high school. It's life or death.
So if I don't talk to you, don't take it personal, okay? We're all just trying to survive. High school's a horrible nightmare.
Excuse me? I'm kind of stuck.
Who are you?
I'm glad you brought it up.
I'm just kidding. I don't actually care.
We're on to something big, Dora.
An ancient city made of gold.
We're gonna break some rules.
We're coming with you, Prima.
Oh, look. Dora brought a knife on the field trip, everybody.
It's a jungle puzzle.
Stop fooling lovers!
The jungle is perfectly safe.
Not safe!
Seriously, you had that in your backpack too? Come on, Boots.
Dora and the Lost City of Gold.
Quicksand! Don't panic.
Excuse me.
I ate chili con carne.
Rated PG.